The fearsome dragon stalking the world economy.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by Kronos, offering cloud-based workforce management solutions to help organizations of all types and sizes achieve their strategic goals. More at Kronos.com. Kronos, workforce innovation that works.
From APM in New York, good morning. I'm Mark Garrison in for David Brancaccio with the global perspective on business and economics. Investors around the world are watching to see what the European Central Bank does next hour. The Knights of European Finance expected to draw a broadsword to fight the dragon of deflation. The ECB may impose negative interest rates, which sounds complicated, but basically means charging banks to sit on money. BBC Economics correspondent Andrew Walker joins us from London. Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning, Mark.
So the Fed, the Bank of England, they have made many big moves in recent years, but haven't done what the European Central Bank is expected to do today in terms of going to negative interest rates. There could be other moves as well. Why does Europe think it needs this kind of strong medicine right now?
Because there is a concern that inflation is too low. The most recent figure for the Eurozone is 0.5%, and a worry that it might go even further. That's to say, perhaps into negative territory, deflation or falling prices, which can have all sorts of damaging wider economic consequences if it persists for a significant period. And basically, the European Central Bank wants to ensure that doesn't happen, and that's why it's widely expected to move below zero with the interest rate that it pays to banks for depositing money with it overnight. So that's a figure that's currently at zero and could go just a touch below that.
And the goal is to get banks to lend this money out instead of basically sitting on it. But how do we know the banks will actually play along and do that?
We don't know that. That's absolutely right. Banks are frankly very nervous in some parts of Europe about lending more heavily. The money they're lending, central bank money, is something that many banks do actually find it a kind of almost a comfort blanket to have more of this stuff on their balance sheets. So there's absolutely no guarantee that they will play ball if the ECB does do what we're expecting.
Okay, the BBC's Andrew Walker. Thanks very much.
My pleasure, Mark.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mixed in global trading in Europe. They're waiting for that decision we were just talking about. Asian markets closed mixed. Word that Sprint has agreed on a price to buy wireless carrier T-Mobile in a deal worth around $32 billion. Yesterday on Wall Street, the S&P gained 0.2%, closing at 1927, another new record. The Dow closed up 0.1% at 16,737. Today, the Senate is expected to confirm Sylvia Matthews-Burwell as health secretary. One challenge awaiting her, enrolling more Latinos in Obamacare. They have the highest uninsured rates when compared to other ethnic groups. Marketplace's David Weinberg reports.
In Houston, Texas, nearly half the population is Latino. Benjamin Hernandez is assistant director of health and human services there. He says one thing the new secretary could do to help him boost Latino enrollment would be to give him access to real-time data on who is signing up and where they live.
That is very helpful to us because, you know what, we shift resources and people into those communities that aren't getting the message.
Targeting those who aren't getting the message is also the mission of Ann Philippic. She's president of Enroll America, which has collected data from the first enrollment period and is studying it to determine what got people to sign up for health care.
Specifically for Latinos, we do see that the in-person assistance, the presence in communities, goes a long way.
Enroll America found that people who had personal assistance were about twice as likely to enroll compared to people who just went online. And Latinos and African Americans were 43% more likely to seek that assistance than their white counterparts.
And also, it's very important to make sure that they have the tools, bilingual tools, to reach consumers.
I'm David Weinberg from Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by United Healthcare, with information on doctors, treatment options, and cost estimates for patients to make educated health decisions, online at uhc.com. And by Zillow, with homes for sale, historical pricing data, and photos all available on Zillow.com or on their mobile apps. Zillow, find your way home. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
The Fortune 500, being on the list of America's top companies by revenue, is quite the corporate merit badge. It even affects how executives talk. They say stuff like, oh, we can't do that. We're a Fortune 500 company. The new list out this week has Alan Sloan thinking, what is an American company anyway? The senior editor at large at Fortune joins us now. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Mark.
So the Fortune 500 kicks out companies that move headquarters outside of the U.S. The S&P 500 lets them stay. You don't personally govern the rules of the Fortune 500, but you do feel it's got better rules. Why do you say that?
The Fortune 500 is supposed to be a list of American companies, and if you decide not to be an American company, we kick you out of the list. It's real simple. These are companies that want to benefit from the United States. They would just rather have their headquarters in a country where the tax rate they think is lower.
Okay. Now, I want to say, though, that Apple's number 5 on Fortune's list. GE is number 9. These are companies both well known for using clever strategies to keep profits overseas and avoid American taxes. If you're going to make an argument that Americanness is in part determined by what you pay in taxes, you know, why not kick out companies that stash profits abroad?
I'm a simple person. If you take your headquarters out of the United States, you aren't an American company. We can argue about degrees. We can argue about a whole lot of these companies. But at least they're still acting as if they're Americans and have some responsibility to the country, whereas these other guys who go overseas, well, they want all the protections. They just don't want to pay for them.
Now, I want to talk about this tax issue big picture. Companies try lots of tricks to avoid taxes. Then the law catches up and companies have to come up with different and more complicated ways to avoid taxes. Is there a fair tax system that is also simple, or is this just a permanent cycle we're in where it keeps getting more complicated?
I don't know how to do it, but I know that what's going on is not right. Having a situation where a company does this or that or the other and is not an American company but wants to keep all the benefits of being an American company, like having a real legal system, having actual markets that function, you ought to pay for it.
Okay, Alan Sloan at Fortune, thanks very much.
My pleasure, Mark.
You can get more on this story and other stories anytime at marketplace.org and tell us what you think when you stop by. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The Congressional Budget Office does a lot of the economic number crunching that we all talk about.
Our role is to be the nonpartisan source of information. And we recognize that people will pick pieces of our analysis that serve their causes and quote those pieces.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, the head of the CBO, from our roadshows, next time on Marketplace from APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.